I am Pastor Victor. I am so pumped because not only am I here to worship God and receive God's gifts with you all, but also we get to receive God's gifts. You know, the word grace means gift. And today being the last Sunday of the month, we celebrate and we receive the Lord's Supper. We call it the Holy Communion. And more on that later, but it is a double portion of receiving God's gifts. Hey, before we open God's Holy Scripture, would you just quick pray with me? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this time of receiving your gifts now through your word, the living word. We pray that we may meet Jesus once again and find our relationship with you refreshed, reconnected, perhaps for the first time, ignited. I pray for my friends and our guests. Lord, speak to us all. Some of us are seasoned followers of Jesus Christ. Some of us are very new at this. Some of us are, we aren't even sure about if this is all legit. But Lord, we ask that you reveal yourself now. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in a current message series called Highways. It's called Highways because we believe that God has a plan and a purpose for us. And his plan and his purpose for us are high, as found in the words of Isaiah. And I want to read this together with you in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9. Here is what we say, here is what we read. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God is saying, I have a plan for you, and my ways, if you would so follow me, if you so accept my gifts and follow my ways and my thoughts, which are higher than your ways and your thoughts, then you will be so much better off, that your life will have meaning, purpose, and enjoyment. And that's why we're calling this message series Highways. So previously, in the recent weeks, we said the roads to the highways are the road to community. And there's the road to prayer that we received last Sunday, that there's power in prayer. And that road will lead us to God's highways. And this morning, we're going to receive a teaching on road to generosity. And next Sunday, road to scripture. And lastly, we're going to wrap it up with the road to sent. If you had missed any one of those messages, you can always go to our website, mosaichouse.ca, and click on the messages, and you can hear all the recent ones. I believe, therefore, this morning, the road to generosity, God is taking us from where we are today to his highways. God wants to move us from where we are today to a better plans. And that's God's way of saying, if you would receive my gifts and become generous to others as I am so generous to you, you will find greater, higher purposes. So here is the theme sentence of the message that I would ask you to remember. And it goes something like this. God's generosity toward you compels your generosity to others. God's generosity toward you will propel you to become generous to others. If you have received, or if you will receive God's generosity, his radical, surprising, rich, deep, and wide generosity to you, then it is only fitting and it becomes a place where you receive the power to be generous to those around you. Let's read it together. God's generosity towards you compels your generosity toward others. One more time. God's generosity towards you compels your generosity toward others. This is what I know about you. I may not know you personally. I may not have met you ever before, but this is what I know. Most of you, if not all of you, you want to be generous. None of us wants to be known as the Scrooge, do we? None of us wants to be remembered at our memorial service, hey, this man was the most greedy person I ever known. We don't want to hear that. In fact, what we want to hear, what we want to be remembered by, is something like this. This man was a generous person. She showed generosity towards me. They made a difference in my life through their gifts, through their time, through their talents. They invested their riches. They invested their time, they invested their talents, their abilities, and they made a difference in my life. That's what we want to hear, isn't it? Each and every one of us, I know this to be true. You want to be generous. I want to be generous. We want people to know us, remember us, that we are generous people. Now, here's the problem. Even though that's what we want, oftentimes we are not generous. We want to become generous, but we find stumbling blocks, obstacles. Yeah, I want to be remembered as a generous person, but in reality, I have difficulty showing my generosity. And there are two major reasons. There could be others. I'm going to talk about two. Okay, one in particular. First reason is this. It's mine. My time, my talents, my treasure, money, okay? It's actually mine. And we tend to feel those resources, your time, your talents, abilities, and your treasure, your money, they are for you and for you only. That's one obstacle. Another obstacle is we want to be generous, but it's so limited. Our resources are limited. You only have 24 hours. You only have so many talents. And if you invest your time and talents in other people, then you feel that you don't have enough for yourself. You feel that there isn't sufficient amount of resources left for your own enjoyment and for your plans. You don't feel you don't have enough, and therefore, you feel insecure about your future. So the number one reason I believe that we, even though we want to be generous, but we are not, is this. There isn't enough time, money, and talents, and therefore, I need to secure my future by reserving them for myself. I believe that there's one friend that I'm going to introduce to you this morning by the name of Joseph. He can relate to you and to me with these thoughts. I want to be generous, but I don't have enough, and therefore I don't feel secure about the future. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. Okay? Now, in this context, let me just give you the backdrop. Jesus Christ came, the Son of God, the Creator God. He came, became one of us. And he walked on the face of the earth, and he became very poor. Although he was rich, he became very poor. And then he taught about the generosity of God. And for that, he was crucified and killed. Now, the apostles, that's another word for the followers of Jesus Christ, who have witnessed Jesus Christ's teaching, but more importantly, his life, his death on the cross, and then the resurrection. When he rose from the dead, they witnessed Jesus being alive with their own eyes. So they're called apostles, okay? So they are standing before the crowd and they're telling everyone, Jesus is alive and he wants us to be generous. And they began to face persecution, okay? Now this is a response to that persecution. So we read from Acts chapter 4, verse 29, okay? This is a prayer being offered by one of the apostles, Peter. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken like the earthquake, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and spoke the word of God boldly. And this, what happens now is a manifestation or the transformation of the people after receiving God's generosity. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And listen to this. And God's grace, God's gift, God's generosity, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that they were no needy persons among them. That's an amazing, amazing statement. That God's grace, his generosity, his gifts were so overwhelming, like over the top, overflowing the cup, so much so that he changed the response of the people, and there were no needy persons because they were meeting the needs. And here's how it happened. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Think about this. People selling their land, their houses, and them using that resources to meet the needs of the people. Talk about radical generosity. Now here's our friend. What's his name? His name's Joseph. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Check that out. Check that out. Joseph. Here's what we know about Joseph. We know his name. We also know his nickname, which is Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Okay. We also know that he was a Levite. Now, let me unpack that for us. And this is why Joseph is such a good friend to us, because he is exemplary, a sign, and an evidence that God's grace, his generosity, can change us into becoming generous people. A Levite was one of the 12 tribes of Israel. There are 12 tribes, like the Benjamin tribe and so forth and so on. But Levite was one particular tribe of the 12, which God set apart. And then here's what God said. You all Levites, you become my priests. You are the priesthood that stands between my people and myself. So as the priests of God, your job was to minister between, be the mediator between God's people and God himself. So your job was in the temple. So anything that related to the temple ceremonies, that was your job. Which was cool, but this is not cool. What was not cool was this. The 11 tribes, they receive a land as an inheritance from God. When God brought the people into the land of Israel, the promised land, everyone received land except the Levites. And this is what God said, you will depend on me. Your brothers and sisters, they're going to farm the land, they're going to produce, and they're going to work the land with their hands, but you depend on me. I am your inheritance, God says. You follow that? Okay. So it was good that you guys are priests, but it was not so good that you had no land as inheritance, because your job was to depend on God. Now, we know from this passage, Joseph, our friend, he did own a piece of property, did he not? Okay, here's one possible interpretation. I'm going to conclude that Joseph, even though he knew he was a Levite, even though he was a priest, even though he knew that he would rely on God alone, nonetheless, he went against God's commandment and he bought a piece of land. Because I like to depend on God, but I'm not sure if I could. I want to put my trust in God, but I want to have a backup. I want to obey God's commandment, and nonetheless, it's kind of nice. It's kind of, you get a sense of security if you have your own land. You see what I'm saying? Okay? Now, so let's just say Joseph, with whom we can relate, because we all want to rely on God, we want to put our trust in God, we want to obey God. Whether you are a follower of Jesus Christ, or whether you are very new at this Jesus and church business, all of us, we want this security of the future, don't we? We do. We do. But here's what Joseph had done. He didn't fully trust God. I can so relate to him. Can't you? So he bought a piece of land. But something happens. Something happens. What happened? He sold the land. There was a transformation. There was a renewal. There was a change of the heart, change of the behavior. All of a sudden, Joseph, who couldn't put his trust entirely on God, he went and sold the land, and he brought the money from the sale of the land and said, please, apostles, Peter, Paul, Stephen, use this money to meet the needs of the people in our midst, both in the church and outside the church. That included everyone, everyone. This is a radical transformation. So what happened? What happened? What enabled Joseph to make this transformation? Well, in verse 31, here's what we read. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. So there was this amazing manifestation, experience of God coming into Joseph's heart. In verse 33, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. So it's God's grace, God's generosity somehow took hold of Joseph. Remember this, God's generosity towards you compels you, your generosity toward others. Joseph experienced God is being so generous to him. He experienced, beyond the shadow of any doubt, God can be trusted. And when that happened, he was able to make the transition. So I believe here is what happened. Some of you are very new at church. Some of you are still investigating this Jesus stuff, while others of you are very seasoned at this. Okay? Here is what must happen for the transformation. The only way God's generosity towards you becomes alive and real is when you experience who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Many of us have heard, yeah, he died for the sins of the world. Yeah, he died for the sins of my sins. But you don't really feel that his death has produced any generosity towards you. But then one day, you will hear and you will feel the power of these words. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. You will see this on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And it goes like this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty might become rich. You know the grace, generosity of Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was the wealthiest person in the entire universe because he was God, the creator himself. And yet, for your sake, he became poor so that you and I, through his poverty, when he became poor, penniless, homeless, shirtless, when he died, he had nothing that he owned. So that through his poverty, you and I might become rich. This is the generosity that God is giving you. By the power of God's Spirit, when that becomes real to you, not only do you want to believe it, but you experience Jesus' generosity. You become generous to others. Remember, God's generosity towards you compels you, empowers you for you to be generous to other people as well. Not too long ago, Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, he and his wife declared, publicly announced, hey, for the rest of our lives, we're going to contribute 99% of our wealth to charity, to benevolence. What percent? 99% of their wealth, they're promising, will be used to meet the needs of other people around the world. Friends, that is a radical generosity, isn't it? 99%? Oh my goodness. 99%. I'm thinking, okay, is Mark Zuckerberg a devout follower of Christ? I'm not sure if he is. I'm not sure if he isn't. But I'm just scratching my head. That's the reason I became bald. 99%? How can you do that? I mean, I couldn't do it. Could you do it? Give 99% of your wealth to the poor? That's just radical, amazing, unreasonable generosity. But then I realize how he was able to do it, okay? He's going to live off of 1% of his wealth. But here's the thing. His worth is $45 billion. So So 1% of 45 billion is what? That's $45 million. Hey, if I had $45 million as 1% of my income, well, I could do that too. But isn't that the truth? He could be generous because he has so much. You don't think you could be generous because you feel you don't have much. But then here's the grace part, God's transformation. If Christ died for you, and he became so poor so that through his poverty, you might become rich, that you get to own, along with Jesus Christ, every penny, every diamond, every gold, every wealth in the entire universe now is yours through Jesus Christ. When you realize that you have so much, you got more than Zuckerberg, then you could be generous. And that is the point, isn't it? That is the generosity part. If you believe and it becomes an experience and a reality, everything Christ owns is mine. I'm richer than Facebook. I'm richer than Bill Gates. I'm richer than all of them put together. Yeah. And I could be generous. God's generosity towards you compels your generosity toward others. Let's look up 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is what we read. And therefore, since we have become so generous, God says this. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly, we will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a what? A cheerful giver. One who gives out of joy and cheer and laughter. Okay? Now here's God's promise. As we do that, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That's the security with which you can show radical generosity. And as it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he, that's God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed, increase your generosity, increase your bank accounts and portfolio, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Do you hear that? Do you feel the power of God's generosity working in you and in me? And therefore, here are the following applications. Personally, individually, but also collectively. Okay. Number one, receive God's rich generosity through Jesus Christ. And it all starts with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Receive God's rich generosity through Jesus Christ. There is a huge difference, friends, between knowing God, knowing about God, and actually knowing God. Okay? If you haven't been here before, your friend might say, hey, let me tell you about Pastor V. Okay? And they will tell you A, B, C, D, right? That he's funny. My pastor is so funny. And he's got so much hair. And he can preach okay. Sometimes, okay? That's knowing about me. But after you meet me, after you and I spend time together, after you and I enter into a relationship in which not only you get to hear, but you get to actually feel and believe for your own self what I am, who I am. See, that's knowing me, not about me. You have to know God through Jesus Christ, not about God. And here's what I run into all the time. Some of you grew up in the church, and for the rest of your life, you knew about God, but you have never known God personally because you have not met Jesus Christ personally and experientially. So receive God's generosity. God is reaching out to you saying, child, I love you. Son, daughter, I love you. I am your Father in heaven. I want to adopt you, but you have to come to Jesus, and he's waiting for you. And for that, Alpha is a fantastic opportunity for you. So please check it out. October 3rd, the first Tuesday of October, we're going to do Alpha, and Alpha is designed to introduce Jesus Christ so that you may come into an experience of having God, knowing God experientially and concretely. And number two, be generous with your money towards others. Because God has been so generous to you, now you can be generous toward others. And simply put, you know, today, as I said, we're going to receive God's double gifts, right? By receiving the Lord's Supper, you get to hold the richness of Jesus Christ in your hand. And you get to drink and eat God's generosity in the form of bread and juice. So whenever we receive this gift, which is so special, we receive a love offering. Love offering is received by the church, and it is designated to meet the needs of other people. It's not for church ministry. It's not paying the bills. It's helping the needy people meet their needs. And that's what we're going to do. And the love offering for this month will be received and sent to help the needs of the victims who have suffered so much in the recent hurricanes and the earthquakes. Meet the needs of others in your life. When you see someone in need, and you are able to help, and you have the willingness to do so, then go there. Because God's generosity towards you compels you, your generosity towards the needy of others. Now you might say, well, I don't have much. Again, I would go back to what Jesus says. You are richer than Zuckerberg. You are richer than the gates of the world. Okay? Third application. Be generous with your time and talents toward others. Be generous with your time and talents. Okay? It's your resources. We're not just talking about your money, but we're talking about your time. For people like Zuckerbergs and the Bill Gates of the world, they could give the money away easily. What they can't give is their time, because time is so scarce. Everyone, including they and them and us, we only have exactly same time. But if God is so generous, do you realize as you come into God's relationship with Jesus Christ, you have the eternity. Let me reiterate that. God's generosity with respect to time is you have the eternity. Time is no longer scarce. Time is no longer limited. It is never ending. And therefore, you could give your time to the people around you. You need my time? I can give it to you. I have a permission to share this story with you. A couple who is not from Edmonton, who is not from Canada, they're all by themselves, and they recently moved into a new home, from their apartment to a new home. Very nice place, okay? Cozy and quaint, and it's lovely. But they needed help, so they asked their house church friends to give them a hand, okay? Now, here's what happened. When's the best day to move in a week? And the answer is Saturday. Okay, and remember, moving is a lot of work, isn't it? Because you got to box all your things, and there's the accumulated stuff and the possessions that you have, and it's just mind-boggling. In my case, every time we move, I go, "Honey, look at all the stuff we own. Oh my goodness, who's gonna help us move?" And that was the dilemma of this young couple. They don't have any families here, so they reached out to their house church friends. They all came. But they came on Saturday morning. That's precious, isn't it? You like to sleep in on Saturday mornings. You want to stay in your bed and drink your coffee, read the newspapers. We don't have those anymore. Or have breakfast in your bed. No one does anything on Saturday morning. You don't ask people of their time on Saturday morning because it's precious. And yet they all came. They all came. They moved the boxes. They moved the furniture. And they helped this young couple move into a new home. Hey, look. That's what I call being generous with your time and your talents. So, friends, I want to encourage you. God encourages you to be generous with your time and talents. On that note, okay, collectively as a church community, here's what I ask of you, a small challenge, okay? Whenever you see someone investing their time and their talents, and you are the recipient of their ministry, whether it be music, whether it be table of fellowship, whether it be setup, someone is investing his and her time and talents, and you are reaping the benefits of that. Do me a favor, will you? Go up to them and say, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your talents. You're blessing me. Thank you for your generosity. You do that. Secondly, if you don't have any ministry here, meaning if you don't serve in any capacity in this community, I want to encourage you, hey, would you consider investing your time and your talents doing one thing? The easiest thing is joining a table of fellowship team. That's once a month, one Sunday of the month, you bring a plate of food to share. Or you can do the setup. We need enabling bodies to move all these things to the lower level every Sunday. And it breaks my heart, people. It breaks my heart that I see the same people, same few people, doing all the works every Sunday. That breaks my heart. So I want to encourage you. It's an opportunity. Be generous. Just do one ministry. That's all. Table of fellowship, takedown. And lastly, I want to end with this. The reason Jesus' movement spread in the early church was not so much the message, according to many historians. The reason Jesus' movement, church, spread like a wildfire in the first century was their generosity. I'll give you one example. In the year 252, in the city of Carthage, there was a plague. Everyone was dying in the city. There was a small group of minority Christians, small number, and they received persecution and hatred by the city itself. Their neighbors turned on them because they believed and followed Jesus Christ, and they were persecuted. But because of plague, everyone began leaving the city. They left their neighbors, they left their families, they left their parents and children, because if they stayed in the city, they would die. But you know who remained? The followers of Jesus Christ. They said, if Jesus Christ showed us so much generosity by becoming one of us and dying for us, then certainly we should be able to show generosity to these people dying in the city. So they stayed behind and they treated the sick and those who were dying. And many of them lost their lives too. This is the power with which Jesus Christ became known in the Roman Empire. Wouldn't it be awesome, my friends, if through our generosity, yours and mine, not only are we blessed by God's generosity, we are sent away now to show that generosity to the city, to our neighborhood, to our schools, to our companies. Wouldn't that be something wonderful? I believe God's rich generosity towards you will indeed compel your generosity toward others. Let's pray together. Oh, dear God, we thank you. Yes, indeed, through Jesus Christ, you have shown us radical generosity. We are so much richer than we think. Help us now to keep on receiving your generosity, your ongoing, never-ending, unceasing gifts through Jesus Christ. And we want to make a difference, not only for ourselves, but for our city, for our country, and for the nations and the peoples of around the world. would you use us? We pray for the victims once again of the hurricanes and the earthquakes. Lord, meet their needs through our sacrificial, radical generosity now. Because Jesus is all that we need, all we are and all we have, and all that we ever hope to be. It's all for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. So we surrender our ambitions, our hopes and plans into your hands. Free us now in your generosity. In Christ's name we pray, and God's people said, amen.